Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All around the country, all around the world, there are some Christians who are gathering this morning for worship, not in a church, but instead they gather in cemeteries. And as they do so, they stand amongst the graves of friends and family and of faithful people who have gone before them, and face east, just as in most cemeteries anyway, a person is traditionally buried facing east. And they worship there as the sun rises over them. It's done for a couple reasons. First, it's done in anticipation of the second coming of Christ, which Scripture talks about that Christ will come with the rising sun from the east. But it's also done as a powerful, a striking, a triumphant, a hopeful stand against death. That just as Christ is raised from the dead, so too will those who have faith in him when Christ returns will also rise once again. There's one church in particular, a Moravian church on the East Coast in one of the Carolinas, where their tradition is to have a procession that grows throughout the town. It begins, I think, even as early as 2:30 in the morning on Easter Sunday, where people join the procession from their homes, and they grab whatever instrument they have, and they have this growing throng of music and sound and crowd as they go to the cemetery in this great procession to greet the rising sun, and to celebrate the risen Christ. But as we look at the first Easter Sunday, we see that the procession that goes to the tomb is a far different procession. The people that go there, the women that go there, the three women that are named and other women that go with them, they don't go to greet a risen Christ. Instead, they go to pay their last respects, to do what they were unable to do because of the Sabbath day. See, Jesus died on a Friday, and the Sabbath day starts at Friday at sundown, and when that happened, the women weren't able to do any more work. It's part of their tradition. And so they waited quietly on that Sabbath, resting, and early the next morning, on that Sunday morning, they go to the tomb expecting to anoint Christ's body with spices and oils and pay their last respects to him, to see the dead Jesus for the last time. Most of us, if not all of us, have grown up in some way or another in the church. We've grown up hearing the stories of Jesus in Sunday school. We've grown up knowing about the cross, that Jesus died there. We've grown up knowing somehow, at least to some degree, about the empty tomb, about the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. The stories of this, it's in our decorations, on the crosses we see before us and the crosses we wear as jewelry. We've grown up with all of this. But imagine those women on that first Easter morning. They're going to that graveyard. They're going to that tomb. And they're going with a life and in a way where there is no more Jesus. They go with a Jesus who is dead and will always and forever be in that tomb. Imagine what our life would be like if just outside Jerusalem, even today, there was a tomb with a man named Jesus still lying there. If that's true, you might as well imagine that the graveyard surrounding that tomb has the graves of all that Jesus ever represented. You could imagine that there would be a grave right next to Christ's tomb that says, "Here lies hope." And maybe just down a little ways, there's one that says, "Here lies life." And over here is where joy is buried. Faith lies to rest right there. Purpose is also buried next to Jesus. Because if Christ is dead and if Christ remains in the tomb, all those things are also dead. St. Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he has this fantastic chapter all dedicated to the resurrection of Jesus and how central and important this one thing is to our faith. In that chapter, he imagines what it would be like if there was no resurrection, if Christ was not raised from the dead. He says, if Christ wasn't raised from the dead, then we who gather here this morning are of all people in this world most to be pitied. Because everything we've ever believed is fruitless. He says, if Christ has not been raised from the dead, we of all people are most to be pitied. Faith is dead. If Christ hasn't been raised, preaching, Paul says, is futile. It's useless. And the reason he says it's useless is because the very word of God then is pointless and useless, has no purpose to it. You might as well not have it, because Christ's resurrection is a validation of everything that is written in our word. Paul says, if Christ is not raised from the dead, you are still in your sin, and you will be buried in your sin, and the grave then will be your end. But the women go. They go in their sorrow, and they see that the stone is rolled away. And they're perplexed by this. They're confused by this. They don't understand what's happening. And even as they go in and they see there's no more Jesus there, just some grave clothes lying there, they still don't get what understands. The possibility of resurrection, it doesn't exist. It's not something that happens. Think of it this way. The Minnesota Vikings. The football Minnesota Vikings. They could someday win the Super Bowl. I know, Jaden, you're laughing at me like, no, that's not going to happen. Matt, believe it. They someday could win the Super Bowl. Unlikely? Sure. Improbable? Absolutely. But we live in a world where it is a possibility. Because they are a professional football team that plays football, they statistically, mathematically speaking, someday could win the Super Bowl. What they can't do is win the World Series because they don't play baseball. They play football. And you could argue some Sundays they're not playing football either. But it is not in the realm of possibility that they could win the World Series, because it's just, they don't do it. The world doesn't work that way. We don't have a category for a football team winning the World Series. The women, when they go to the tomb, there's no category, there's no world that exists in which a man is raised from the dead. It doesn't happen. But then the angels speak. And they give them this great line. Why do you seek the living amongst the dead? And as they say this, I can just imagine that of all the angels in heaven, they may be, you know, who is going to get to say this line? Who is going to get to be in the tomb and greet the women as they came? Maybe they played paper, rock, scissors to find out who gets to tell people that Jesus is raised from the dead. And these angels, whoever they are, they win. Why do you seek the living amongst the dead. And all of a sudden, there is something new in the world. There is a new category developed that the dead can be raised to life. It's like that Shania Twain song. And when we do weddings here, some of the music, yeah, it's all right. Some of the music, I look forward to hearing it. On wedding days, I become a 90s country fan. And one of the best songs is that Shania Twain song, "From This Moment On." I'll sing it all day long as I hear them practicing it. But the first line applies to us here in church today. From this moment on, life has begun. On that Easter Sunday, as the angels greet the women, this first day of the week becomes the first day in a new era where something new has been created. Something, a new category has been made. It's a new era in which hope and life and joy and faith and purpose now exists and is now alive because Christ is alive. We live now in a new era in which you and I can gather in a cemetery. And as we gather there, probably with grief, we can also gather with hope. Because we know that 2,000 years ago, a tomb was empty. And as St. Paul says, that empty tomb is the first fruits of what is to come. And as Christ returns someday, all those graves that we would stand by will also become emptied. Remember the words of the angels as they bid us to remember the words of Christ. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, that he must be crucified, and on the third day, rise. Let the word of Christ himself wash over you. May you hear his words with ears of faith, just as the women at the tomb did.